From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
It's another hot one in Phoenix, but we're keeping things cool and queer on the Gay PHX Podcast, our community radio on demand. I'm your host, Billy Foster, and we're officially halfway through July and just over 3 months into this podcast journey, and your support means the world to us. Whether you've been tuning in weekly or just discovered us, thank you for helping spread the word that our community has a voice, and it lives right here. Last week, Kesha lit up the stage and reminded us what a pop icon truly looks like. And yes, we saw the footage of her walking through the crowd, the energy, the glitter, the joy. It was everything, and we're still feeling it. And Ben, the blogger, is working on a full concert review that will be out soon, so keep an eye out. This past Saturday, we had a chance to unwind poolside, followed by dinner with Pups Apollos, Delos, and Dante at Phoenix Coqui. The empanadas, both mushroom and chicken, were absolutely killer. We cannot wait for our next visit. And after months of meaning to stop by, we finally made it over to Ripple Phoenix's HQ, and it did not disappoint. It's bold, creative, and it's got so much space that it's awesome. Huge shout out to Jason and Jeremy for all the amazing work that they've done by bringing this space to life for the community. We can't wait to join in for a gamer night or maybe a cheeky sip and stroke. You know we love a little art with our attitude. And Sunday brought all the love and celebration as the community gathered at Grit for Josh's birthday party. Massive thanks to Jim and Don for throwing such a warm and joyful poolside bash. Josh, we know you're listening. Happy birthday. We love you. And coming up this weekend, it's a bear takeover at Grit. That's right. The Arizona Leather Bears and Cubs are throwing their very own pool party, and you're invited. I've been a proud Owlback member for years, and it's truly one of the best groups around. Come meet Clay and the crew and see what makes this community so special. Full details at gayphx.com, of course. Now onto this week's episode. First up, we sit down with Arizona Puppy 2025, Pup Midnight, a passionate pup whose journey spans from Birmingham to Atlanta to Phoenix, always grounded in heart, purpose, and a mission to uplift others. Then, in our business spotlight, we bring you the story of David Soto Grego, founder of Connection. From trauma and addiction to healing and entrepreneurship, his journey is one of the most powerful stories we've ever shared. And his message of resilience and self-love will stay with you long after this episode ends. But first, we're passing it over to Brian for this week's Hot 3.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast, where community comes first.
Hey, hey, Gay PHXers. It's a new month. It's new heat. It's new reasons to be out and about. July is burning up the sidewalks, and Phoenix is answering with blockbuster body glitter and boys who don't know what indoors means. Broadcasting proudly from the shadows of the radio towers, it's time for Brian's Hot 3, your sizzling, splashy, and shame-free guide to what's lighting up LGBTQ plus nightlife across the valley. I'm Brian, and here's your top 3 queer picks to keep it hot this week. Wednesday, July 16th at 8 o'clock, Stacy's and Melrose. They're doing their global glamour. Celebrate International Drag Day the way it was meant to be, under the lights, dripping in sequins, and showcasing queens from every corner of the globe. Hosted by Jasmine Green Tea and Tanya the Supreme, featuring Rosie Savage, Anya C. Main, Miguel Angelo, Starlix, Chris Mort, and Edric and Exotic. This fierce global lineup brings the drama before goth night takes over. One stage, so many countries, worth of charisma. No cover, but 21 plus, please. Friday, July 18th, 6 p.m., Pat O's Bunkhouse is Bear Encounters. Beards, check. Beats, check. Flirty furballs, ooh, double check. Get tangled up in body heat and cold drinks at this iconic Friday night gathering. It's not just a bar night, it's a bear movement. Flash a wink, find a flirt, and let the bear tenders keep the party cool. Patio misters are working overtime. This is your furriest fantasy in motion. Saturday, July 19th at 7 p.m. Oh my gosh, it's Charlie's Lube Wrestling. It's time to get slippery for a cause. Phoenix Gay Men's Chorus is turning up the heat and the lube with the return of one of the wildest charity nights of the year. Lube Wrestling matches, 50-50 raffle, jello shots, And yes, you can bid to lube them up and hose them down yourself. Hosted by Amy Justice Colby and Mox Sicilian. Want to wrestle? Email njust at phxgmc.org to register to be in one of the five fabulous categories: twink, bear, muscle, ladies, and all-inclusive. Suggested donation is $10 at the door. Come for the chaos, stay for the cause. Take lots of pictures, I want to see. And that's your Brian's Hot 3 for the week. This has been your Gay PHX Weekend Picks, your go-to roadmap for community connection and just enough queer chaos to make your week unforgettable. Whether you're covered in glitter, sweat, or lube this weekend, just remember, pride isn't a moment, it's a momentum. So strut your stuff, support your people, and don't forget to hydrate, flirt responsibly, and tip those dancing queens. So show up, sparkle up, be loud, be queer, be legendary. For more events, giveaways, and all the Phoenix queer tea, visit gayphx.com and plug into your people. Catch you next week, same time, same vibe, same rainbow-tinted mic. Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, and that's what's hot. See ya!
Want all the details? Head over to gayphx.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening.
More stories, more voices. More pride.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
When you feel like you're different or no one understands you, it's not always easy to ask for help. But no matter what you're dealing with, confusion about your sexual orientation or gender, sadness or thoughts of suicide, you don't have to do it alone. I'm Daniel Radcliffe, and I believe that reaching out for help is the bravest thing a person can do. If you are struggling and need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. It's free and confidential, and trained counsellors are there to listen 24/7 without judgment. To learn more about the Trevor Project's life-saving work for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning young people, go to thetrevorproject.org. Remember, you are never alone. You don't need to keep thoughts of suicide to yourself. There is help to be had, and there is nothing wrong with asking for it.
Another voice. Another vibe. Another reason we love this community.
You've seen the ears perk, the tails wag, and the joy bounce across the contest floor. But what drives the pup behind the hood? With a journey that began in 2017 and a deeper meaning found in Atlanta's pup community, this playful spirit brings more than just gear to the scene. His belief? The gear doesn't make the pup makes the gear. And that pup now carries the title of Arizona Puppy 2025 with heart, humility, and a drive to build community through authenticity and connection. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Arizona Puppies 2025 Pup Midnight. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come do this.
No problem. It's actually a joy for me to actually do this.
Excellent. And take us back to the moment that your name was announced. What did it feel like to be chosen Arizona Puppy 2025?
Oh my God. It was such a surreal thing. If anyone was there or saw the photos, like after they announced the alpha beta, I instantly went and grabbed the hands of the contestants beside me as let's all unite in solidarity. And when they announced me, it took me a moment because it was so surreal.
And you've been a pup in the pup community since 2017, correct?
Correct. I actually started when I lived in Birmingham, Alabama. While I lived in Birmingham, I was a member of two different organizations. I was a member of the Magic City Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence as a guard. And I was part of a Mardi Gras crew called the Mystic Crew of Caritas. And with that organization, I was in multitude of roles, being captain of the ball mask, where I would execute the idea and put on the event, lieutenant of the ball mask, and I would assist the captain in helping execute their vision for the ball mask. And in 2016, I actually had the privilege to reign with, at the time, they were my husband. Now they're my ex-husband, but we are still really close, good friends. We reigned together as king and queen, and it was a phenomenal year of just work for our community, raising funds and awareness for HIV AIDS prevention and outpatient assistance for AIDS Alabama and other organizations in the city. And after that, after we gave up our royalty, I felt I was going through a lot of personal issues. My marriage has ended. I was felt like an outcast in the community. And I went to one of the bars that we had in Birmingham. I use had because Birmingham actually only has one LGBTQIA faith space now. But I went and I saw a group of individuals and they were pups and they had their hoods on and I was intrigued. So I started talking to them and they were talking to me about it and everything. And one of them was like, would you like to try my hood on? And I did. And like everything about the mundane human world just melted away from me. And from that point, I decided to look into it. I ordered my first hood. And then I started my pup journey. And I had a lot of people look at me odd in Birmingham because at the time we only had 6 pups in the entire city. This was 2017 going into 2018. And 2019, I decided to move to Atlanta, but in 2018, I was going to Atlanta every weekend because I was feeling more accepted in my pup journey and my pup side in Atlanta because there was a larger pup community over there, and they actually had a venue, a bar, that was more welcoming and accepting of pups compared to Alabama.
Got it. Okay. And that's where you spent time with the League of Atlanta Pups.
Yes. In 2019, I became friends with members who started. Actually, I started becoming friends with them in 2018 and going over there. And at the end of 2018, I decided to join, even though at that point I still lived in Birmingham, but I was going to Atlanta every weekend and I was becoming friends with them and just became really good friends with them. And the League of Atlanta Pups, what their motto was, one pack for all. Yes, we in our pup groups with our pup families and our pup friends, we may have our pack here and these people may have their pack over here and this group has their pack over here. But with the League of Atlanta Pups, even though we may have our individual pup families, we could all come together and do things as a pup community under one banner for pride. And like in the pride parade, we would all be in the parade together. And in the park, we would have a tent set up for all the pups to come and have lunch or get a drink or get some snack or what have you like that. But it a way that we could all be able to come together and be a big group of friends and support for everyone. We would always do like the Friday Pride weekend. We would all get together and do a giant dinner right before Pride as a huge pup group.
And how did those early experiences prepare you for the contest here?
My early experiences, I would say, not with just the pup community in Birmingham, Atlanta, but also with the sisters and the Mardi Gras crew, it allowed me to experience and unlock something in me that lay dormant, and that was being able to open up more and be more approachable in the community, it would allow me to be less shy. Because in high school, I'll use that for an example, I had a horrible case of stage fright. And to the point, I had to do a speech in high school, and after my speech, I passed out.
Oh, wow.
Whereas now, I can sit there my first year with my Mardi Gras crew, and I had to put on my tableau, or my skit is what it is. I was nervous, but once it was over and done with, and once I heard my music go and everything like that, is, oh, this was fine. And now with my pup side, when I put on my hood, I let the mundane human world melt away, because there are people who know me outside of my pup side because of my work. Because I work for an establishment within our LGBTQIA community. And when it comes down to it, the past experiences I had allowed me to be more open and be able to bring to the table things I would like to do within the community that I have ideas for. I am not going to, I'll talk more about them if I'm asked, but there's some things I want to do that I hope are fun within our community and be able to have, bring joy and fun to what people want to do outside of my mission statement of being there for anyone who needs a shoulder or anything.
Now, like we said in the opening, you said that the gear doesn't make the pup, makes the gear. Can you unpack what that means to you, especially for new pups that are just starting out?
Yes. Yes. Pretty much there are some people that think, oh, I'm a pup, I have to have a hood, or I have to have a harness, or I have to have a tail, or I have to have a collar. No, you don't. You can be a pup in any situation, as long as you want to sit there and go, you know what? I'm free. I'm carefree. I want to have fun. Just like a puppy, I'm a pup. At most pup events, people will see me. I'll have my hood with me clipped to my belt limb. I won't be in my hood, because I will put on my hood. Or I'll just be, hey, this is who I am. I am a pup 24/7, 365, because that is who I am. Pup Midnight is a part of me, and I'm not going to hide Midnight from who I am, and I'm not going to hide Midnight from the world, because when it comes down to it, me as a person, am the one who makes Midnight. My hood does not make Midnight. My harness, my vest, any of the other items I wear when I take on my pup persona does not make Midnight. I make Midnight. And that's where it comes down to, this gear isn't what makes Pup Midnight. It's me. I'm the one that makes it.
So now, puppy play is clearly more than just play for you. It's obviously a part of who you are. How does that identity help you grow in or outside of kink spaces?
It helps me grow in a really big way. When I was in college, I was a victim of SA by the second person I dated. So I really had very much strong trust issues with people. And then when I would open up and get to know someone and develop a bond of trust, that's where it broadens that. Pup play for me is not strongly like some people do as in the bedroom or in the club thing. Pup play for me started strongly as therapeutic. Because when I was on the break of my mental health, I told my ex-husband things to his face that I never thought I would say. And I went through counseling, and it did not work for me. I had acceptance with some things, but once I found pup play and I put my hood on and I was able to let my everything around me just melt away and feel like I can be fun and carefree, that's when my anxiety started to relax and my depression started to go away. And comes down to it, it's like, this is therapeutic for me, just like how some people might find shopping therapeutic for them, or taking a hike, or taking a drive. I've tried a walk and shopping.
Or
and
yoga.
Driving. And unfortunately, I'm not that bendable because, yeah, maybe 20 years ago.
But that same kind of like shift in mentality and space and the therapeuticness of it all, too.
There is some therapeuticness in it because it does allow me to allow the mundane world to go away and be, oh, I'm just a dog kind of thing. I don't know. I'm just a puppy.
And now that the sash is yours, what do you hope to bring to the puppy title this year?
There's one thing I'm in the works on wanting to do. I'm a big advocate for education in any aspects. And I'm currently working with a group to try to start a monthly education class for people in the pup community to learn different aspects of play in a safe and welcoming environment. So if anyone has a question about an aspect of play that they are interested in, they are able to learn in a self and welcoming environment compared to Googling it or reading it in a book and something catastrophic could happen. I also am all about, like I said, my main thing is help. To me, if they're down or they need someone to talk to, my contact is always there and open for them to be able to say, hey, Midnight, do you got a moment? Can I talk to you? I'm like, absolutely. Because there's been so much I've dealt with since 2010 when I started work with the sisters to now in 2025 that, because if I look at myself now compared to then, I'm like, I am a whole different person. But there's things I want to do mostly about education. I do want to be the representative for Arizona and go to IPTC and compete for International Puppy.
When does that happen next year?
Normally it's in April. This past year was it to be this past one that we had this year was the first weekend of April. They have yet to announce the dates, but as of right now, it looks like it may be in April as well.
Excellent. And describe Pup Midnight in three words.
Pup Midnight in three words. I would say nerdy and, this is a hard one. Adventurous, nerdy, and I'm going to tip my tongue, but spontaneous at times.
What advice would you give someone who feels that they don't, quote unquote, look the part, or they don't see themselves represented in pup spaces?
I would tell them, you are represented. You may not feel like it, but you are, because pup spaces are open to anyone, be it that stray puppy that just found out about it, they haven't purchased their first hood, to an old dog like me who has been around but can be off to the side, just watching people and just people watching. You are represented because when it comes to pup spaces, everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter if you're a pup, a pony, a kitty, a handler, a leather man, leather woman, leather boy, leather girl, drag queen, trans, straight, gay, it doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome when it comes to pub spaces, because pub spaces should be fun and inviting and welcoming to everyone. Just remember that when it comes to it, like in all aspects of play or all aspects of any social interaction, consent is key. So if I'm in a pup space just because, or I'm in a bar and I'm in my harness, that doesn't, and I have my tail, that doesn't give you a right to pull my tail just because it's there. Or an incident I had at a bar one night to grab me inappropriately because of what I'm wearing. Just remember, everyone's welcome. Just what dynamic you are going to make with it.
And what does success look like for you at the end of your title year? How will you know that you've made an impact?
I will know if I made an impact by knowing that our pup community can come together and be fun and joyous and just enjoy everyone's company, or just be able to come together because the climate of society right now, we don't need any risk. We need to be strong and be together as a community. We need to be together for each other.
We totally second that. That's the whole reason for the podcast, is to give us a place to rally everyone together and get to learn each other and get to know each other better. And yeah, so that's awesome. Now, are there any specific communities or events that you're especially excited to try and work with or reach out to as Arizona Puppy 2025?
I know I want to do something up in Flagstaff. I would love to do something down in the Tucson area, because when it comes to it, yes, I live here in Phoenix, but I am not Phoenix Puppy. I'm Arizona Puppy. I am here to represent and help the pup community for all of Arizona compared to just the city of Phoenix.
And is there a large pup community down in Tucson or up in Flagstaff?
I don't know. Personally, I know that they would like to do something in Flagstaff. I would actually love to get a group of pups together and go up to Flagstaff and go for a hike. Tucson, I know some pups in Tucson. I think there's a decent sized community by the pups I do know down there. I know it's roughly about a 2-hour drive, so it's not that bad. And I would love to go down there and be able to go down there and meet more of the pups that don't actually get to come up here to Phoenix when we have more pup nights. I've been talking to one or two of them to see, hey, when's a good pup night to come down, or what's a night y'all do a pup event I would like to come down and join. It's just figuring out dates and everything.
And if you could leave just one message with the next generation of pups, what would it be?
I would leave to the next generation of pups, be free to be yourself. Let your inner pup shine. Doesn't matter how unique or weird or outrageous you are in your pup persona. Your pup persona represents you as an individual. So be free to express yourself in any shape, form, or fashion.
Such great advice. And finally, how can listeners follow or support you throughout your year?
You can actually find me on Instagram at PupMidnight81. If you have Telegram, my Telegram is always open for messages, and it is PupMidnight81 as well. I do have a TikTok I sometimes use. It's like everything else. Most of my social media handles are going to be PupMidnight81. I do not use the social media formerly known as Twitter for obvious reasons.
Yeah, we don't either. We don't even promote it.
I refuse to call it the other name, but
I just call it that thing. The former bird.
I love the music of Trench. I hate it that I did the app formerly known as. Right. But when it comes down to it, I literally shut down my Twitter after 16 years because I just couldn't deal with that anymore. I am on Blue Sky rarely. Every now and then, because I am also a gamer, people can find me on Twitch streaming games at Midnight81. But like I said, most of my social medias, it's going to be Midnight81.
Awesome. Pup Midnight, thank you so very much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and I look forward to all the awesome things you're going to be doing over the next year.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Looking for a reason to smile this summer? Grit pool parties are back.
Freaking awesome!
And Tempe Sundays just got a whole lot hotter. Clothing optional. BYOB. And yes, the legends are true. Whether you're here to flirt, float, or find your tribe, it's all happening at Grit. Spots are limited. Visit gritaz.com to grab yours.
This is what community sounds like.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about DoxyPep. Are you hooking up, living your best life? Keep it hot and healthy with DoxyPep, a little pill that helps protect you against STIs after sex. DoxyPep. Doxy is short for doxycycline. And PEP is an abbreviation of post-exposure prophylaxis, meaning taking a pill after sex. You've probably heard of PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. That's taking meds before being exposed to HIV. But DoxyPep goes like this. Take one doxycycline dose soon after sex, for sure within 72 hours. This helps prevent bacterial infections such as syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. If doxycycline sounds familiar to you, yes, it also treats STDs. Ask your provider if DoxyPep is right for you. And if your provider doesn't know about DoxyPep, inform them. Or find a provider that meets your full sexual health needs. Live your best life with DoxyPep.
It's time for your pup date. Brought to you by the Arizona Puppy Community and EmeryPack.com, where pups, handlers, and allies come together.
Hey everyone, it's a fresh new week. I'm Dante.
And I'm Delos. And we're bringing you this week's puppy play events happening around the Phoenix area.
Monday night, come sing and holla with friends at Puppyoki, hosted by the tremendously talented Trey at The Rock Phoenix, starting at 9 p.m.
Thursday night, catch Cirque du Soleil Trey, featuring an incredibly talented rotating cast weekly at Cobalt, starting at 8 p.m.
Friday night, start your weekend with a bark as APA hosts Phoenix's original puppy party at Anvil, starting at 9 p.m.
Saturday evening, join the Phoenix Gamers for their monthly game night hosted at Ripple Phoenix, starting at 5 p.m.
Sunday morning, whether confessing your sins or making new ones, attend Sunday service drag brunch at Stacy's at Melrose, starting at 12 p.m. Doors open at 11:30. Performances by Trey, CCTV, guest stars, and live music by Pup Ivory.
Finally, Sunday evening, expect feathers, fishnets, and fierce looks as Trey, Mickey Del Rio, Ginger Liquor, Carmen Side Me, and Molly Desmond host a punk rock pool party, raising funds for Riot Phoenix at Stacy's at Melrose, starting at 7 p.m.
For full event details, including cost, gear level, and more, sniff out amorypack.com/events. Have an amazing summer, pups, and stay cool, stay hydrated.
Stay leashed in. There's always more to sniff out.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
You're about to hear one of the most powerful journeys we've ever featured on the Gay PHX Podcast. Today's guest has survived trauma, battled meth addiction, faced homelessness, and turned it all into a mission of healing. Now clean, in love, and thriving as a gay entrepreneur, he's helping others reconnect with their mind, body, and spirit through holistic wellness. If you've ever felt like the past defined you,
this story proves that it doesn't have to. Let's welcome him now to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, the founder of ConX and a proud voice for recovery and resilience, David Soto Grego. Welcome.
Wow, what a fanfare. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm happy to be on here.
Your story is very motivating. So let's start with what ConX is and what makes it different than other fitness and wellness spaces.
First off, it's connection, C-O-N-X-I-O-N. I know it's a different spelling, but it's a sort of a take on the Spanish version of conexión.
Oh, I see. I apologize. Connection.
Oh, no worries. No worries at all. Hey. It gets misconstrued all the time. And again, what was your question?
No problem. What makes it different than other fitness and wellness spaces?
Oh, goodness. I have to go back a little bit because I've always had a passion to help people my entire life. Growing up, I was always that person that people would come to and just dump their stuff on. I've always been very empathic. I've always known exactly what people need to hear, what people need. Just a gentle touch on their shoulder or whatever it is. So I've just been empathic and intuitive that way. But what makes this place different, and considering it a holistic fitness center, is it's more about treating the person as a whole rather than throwing a bunch of weights at somebody and saying, here, lift this or whatever it is. We take a look at the whole being, mind, body, and spirit, just like you said. If somebody is not in the right frame of mind, and it's not like we take you aside and counsel you or anything, it is just a matter of being empathetic with where you're at that moment and say, okay, hey, just take a moment. Let's go breathe. Let's go do something else. Maybe we need to stretch. So everything is 100% tailored. So everything fits. Whatever person shows up in the door, because we all know that we're not always 100% every single day. If you're at 20% that day, I've got enough for you to build that up, and we work on from where you're at. So I always meet people where they're at. Everything is personalized. Everything is tailored to fit. At any level that you're at, your strength level, we work on flexibility, endurance. Yeah, it's just a place where I get to meet people where they're at, and I get to help them to the next level.
And it sounds like what you've done is built something very powerful, but your path here hasn't been easy. So take us back. What was it like for your life growing up, and how did that shape who you are?
Oh, goodness. How far back do you want to go? I can give you a Reader's Digest version of the experiences, because to tell the story would take probably too long.
We need a miniseries?
Yeah, we can do a miniseries. I'm sure I could do it. So I grew up in a very small Hispanic town. It's Superior, in the middle of nowhere here in Arizona. And I knew, growing up, I knew that I was the only little gay boy around. So I tried to hide everything that I was growing up. By the age of 5, I had been molested. I had abusive mother, physically abusive. My brothers would beat me, call me sissy, faggot. At those times, they were derogatory terms. And growing up, I always knew that I was different. I always hung out with the girls, but the only reason, the town that I grew up in was filled with gangs. There were stabbings and shootings that were going on all the time. The only thing that kept me protected was that my older brother was bigger and tougher than most everybody in the town. So nobody messed with me. But I think that if he weren't there, I would have been picked on and beat up and possibly even killed back then. I don't know, but that was my experience then. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, trying to hide everything of who I am. Of course, I went into alcohol, started drinking a lot, did a lot of drugs, cocaine. I was a cocaine dealer at 17, 18 years old. By the time I got to about 21 years old is when I finally came out. But I still hadn't accepted myself. I just knew I was gay, but I was still hiding so much that alcohol became a big portion of my life. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do within the gay culture, is they go to bars and they drink and they be social in bar settings. And there was no place to be gay outside of that. So my drinking got way off track. The guy that I was with at that time told me, you need to get help or we're through. I went to my first AA meeting at 25, I think it was. and realized that I needed to change my life. But I did not realize at that time that what I was searching for was my own spirituality, because I had always been force-fed Catholicism. I am not a religious person. I will talk about God, but I mean it in a different way. I'm a very spiritual person. But that's what I found within the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, today, I have a very different story. Today, I drink. I know that what I went through was a necessary thing to get me to the next step of where I was. I learned what I needed to learn. I did the work that I needed to do to get where I needed to go. But my story didn't end there. And when I got to 33, I ended up moving to San Diego with my boyfriend at the time. And this is the first time that we ever lived together. So you can imagine what happened. We ended up breaking up. There's a whole story there too, because I drank, blacked out, ended up in jail for 72 hours. And I still don't know exactly what I did. And that was the first time that I was basically homeless. So I lived with my boss for a while until I got my own apartment. I moved into my apartment, which just so happened to be next door to a meth dealer. And I told myself, I'll never do that. I'm never going to touch the stuff. Next thing I know, I'm up for 2 days. Next thing I know, I'm up for 5 days in a row. And for the next 3 years, I was smoking meth every 5 minutes that I have it, locked several apartments, lived in cars, lived on people's floors.
You did the 3 years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so it was very interesting how it all happened, too, because the drug dealer that I was dating and lived with. So here's really interesting. This is where it gets a little confusing and a little kind of not strange, but really interesting. I have been journaling almost all my life. My journaling turned into poetry. And as I was talking with people and experiencing things, I would go home, I would get high, and I would write. So the writing that I have has actually now become a book. It's called My Naked Soul, and it's journalings of a reluctant poet. And in all the experiences that I had on drugs, off drugs, in relationships, out of relationships, so it would just became that. But I was high most of the time that I wrote these things. I remember when I got the copyright for my poetry was the only day that this is one of those God things. The guy that I lived with, who was a drug dealer, he would keep the key with him, the mail key, because he always stole our other roommate's checks and would get him high and take his checks, write them, and go buy more drugs. So left the key one day. I went and got the mail, and my copyright for all my poetry was in there. And it was one of those God things, because if he would have kept it, I would have never have gotten that. So then later on, years later, I was able to actually create a book and put it out into the public. But yeah, there's so many different details. But so again, Reader's Digest version, physical abuse, sexual abuse, spiritual abuse, because the Catholicism was force-fed to me. I got into fistfights. I've been held at gunpoint by the DEA, been handcuffed, arrested, you name it. I've never been in prison, but I've been in jail. So much stuff. Ooh. And the one thing that changed for me was the roommate that we had. After the drug dealer got arrested, the roommate had nowhere to go, and he was HIV positive, suffered from agoraphobia, high blood pressure, and there are a myriad of so many different diagnoses. Plus, he was diagnosed with Gulf War syndrome. He served 2 terms in the Gulf War in the Navy, and they threw him out because he became HIV positive. And they literally let him off the ship and said, here you go, here's your bag, bye. So he had nowhere to go. I took him in with me and started getting him help. And during the process of getting him help, I started getting myself clean and getting himself off the drug. So when we got to the point where I needed his stop, he was past the DTs and everything else that he had to go through. So I told him, I said, look, here's the last little quarter that I have. This is what's going to happen, and I'm going to try and get more. So So what I did prior to this is I went to every single one of my drug dealers and I pissed them off because I knew that in a moment of weakness, I would go to them and they would give it to me. They just would. And when I got to that moment of weakness, I did. I went. They said, fuck you. Sorry, can I say that?
You can. Yes. It's a podcast.
Yeah. They told me, fuck you. We're not going to sell you to you anymore. I'm like, okay, great. Fuck you too. And I could not get anything more. So I had to go to the DTs. I had to get clean. And
so DTs, so is that detox?
Detox, yeah.
Okay, just for clarity.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, so once I got through detox and my friend was also there, we just started cleaning our lives up and trying to make things better. Like I got him connected back with the Navy. He was getting his medical care that he needed. Before I started taking care of him, he was supposed to die. This was like in October. They said he's going to die by the end of the year. So I thought, oh my God, at least I can make this part of his life a little bit more enjoyable and maybe get him a little healthier before he passes. He's still alive. He lives in Tennessee and he and I are still connected and we still talk. I still love him dearly and I would still do anything in the world for him. So he is an amazing part of my journey because if it weren't for him needing the help, I wouldn't have done it for myself. So we really helped each other there. We ended up moving back to Phoenix and my mother and I have never had a great relationship. It was absolutely terrible. My mother was not the nicest person to any of us in the family. So when I had to go back, I had to tail between the legs and say, hey, Mom, I need a place to go. I don't have any place to live. And I have my friend with me now. So she let us come in. He actually got to stay inside and I was in the shed. So that's where we lived for a while, for almost a year. And then my niece got pregnant. She moved my niece in and threw us out. So then we had to go live with my sister for a while until I was able to get back into work. One of my sister's friends got me a job at Banner Desert in Mesa. So I started working there and worked my way up into sterile processing. I became a core tech and then eventually became an on-site specialist for Karl Storz, who is a specialty product. So I used to take care of all the MIS rooms and all kinds of other stuff. So I started rebuilding my life there and eventually got to the point where I was.
How old are you at this stage?
I was, let's see, 33 when I got there, 34, 35, 36, 37 maybe.
So when you first got the job there, though, right when you're starting to like early recovery.
Yeah, that was probably 35 or 36.
Okay. And so from 17 till then, drugs, alcohol, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I wanted to pinpoint some times to help understand where we're at now.
I know, it's up in my hand.
No, and time is different when you're in that mix, in my experience. I know a lot 100%. Of people that have gone through it, so that's why I know time ebbs and flows differently when you're on that stuff. And
yeah, right. Yeah, so, and the whole time I started working in hospitals, I worked my way up into more leadership roles and everything, and my contract with the company came to an end. And they didn't have a position for me. So I'm like, okay, I'm out of a job again. But I had just gotten out of a relationship that I was in for 3 years. And it was a major transformation for me. But shortly after that, I met my now husband. And it was just one of those things where we met and I knew I was done. I knew that this was it. And I wasn't looking, didn't want, but I had, again, began to work on my own esteem, my confidence, and who I was as a person, not the drug person, not the person that worked in the hospital, not this. I didn't have that identity anymore. I knew who I was. And that's when I met my husband, Manny. And we just started dating, and it's been 15 years now that we've been together and married for 10.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm very blessed. And when we do the work, when we work on ourselves and make ourselves better, not better than anybody else, but better than we were yesterday.
Right.
When we make ourselves better, things happen for us and they don't happen to us. Because before, there was a long period of my life where everything happened to me. And right. I was in such a victim role. And that's not who I am. I'm a powerful, young, gay
entrepreneur. And I hold on to that part of my identity because of the experiences that I have. I had to live on floors. I had to sleep in cars. I had to bathe in the library. And it seemed that you just never thought that would happen. And I mentioned to you before we started this podcast, everything that I talk about, I talk about very plainly, and I'm open with anybody who wants to ask me any questions because I'm so far removed from that person who I was that I'm not emotionally connected to that anymore. I've done the work. I've been to a couple of ayahuasca ceremonies. The first one I went to was down in Peru, and it was the most amazing transformative thing that ever happened to me in my life, which now leads up to where I'm at now. Because in my ayahuasca ceremony, and this was in 2019, I literally, no, it was 2020, sorry, literally came down off the mountain from being in the jungle doing my ceremony, and there was talk of pandemic. And I'm like, what the hell is going on with this world? And I'm wondering if I was going to even be able to get home.
Oh, wow.
But also, I'm thinking to myself, I'm a completely different person after I did the ceremony. When I came down off the mountain, I'm like, how am I going to be this person in that world? And the world decided for me.
It wasn't that world anymore.
I came back to a pandemic and it was just like, okay, so what are you going to do? I've been a personal trainer for 12 years, something like that. The place that I worked at before, there were some issues there. So after that all happened, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now? How am I going to be able to help people? So I just jumped online and I started training people and giving free workouts to people. And I did this all through social media. And it eventually became a business. Then I started getting calls from my old clients going, hey, are you training? I'm like, I started doing some stuff at my house. So I had a few clients that would come to the house and it turned into enough money so that I can afford the rent where I'm at now. I'm on 60th Street in Maryland. I have 2,000 square feet of workout space. I have a yoga studio. I have a workout room. I have a massage studio. I have absolutely everything that I need. But now going back to the ayahuasca ceremony, I saw this place in my vision. I saw everything that I needed to do. And everything happens for a reason. And I say, unfortunately, because my mother passed away on December 25th, 2020, which is Christmas Day. With that, she left me a gift. Her house got sold and it got split up between the remaining siblings. So that's the money that I used to finance where I'm at now. So even though that my mom and I had a terrible relationship growing up, she really helped me out in the end. Now, I have no ill will towards my mother. I would not say a bad thing about her. She was not the greatest mother. She was not the greatest person. Everybody has their issues, and I can't sit here and blame her for it because it happened to her, that happened to them, that happened to them, that happened to them.
Sure.
And where are you going to stop it? I decided to stop the dysfunction, so it doesn't go any further than that. So everything that happened for me, and even while I was in the process of building this business, I had a person call me up. And they say to me, do you do house blessings? Because I also do shamanic work. And I said, yes, I can come into much your home. And she tells me, would you please come over? And I'm like, yes. So I started talking to her and I'm telling her about my idea about opening this place up. She looks at me and she says, do you know what I do for a living? And I'm like, I thought you were a paralegal. She says, yes, but I'm a small business consultant. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, but when do you want to make your first appointment? We bartered and she gave me all the information I need to set me up for success. One of my clients that I was already training again was a real estate broker for businesses and stuff. So he actually did all of my lease work and everything. Everything that I needed was just placed in front of me. And that was because I was doing my work, because I was working on myself, making sure that I was okay, making sure that I had what I needed, and everything was placed in my path for success. And here we are 4 years later, and I'm ecstatic at where I'm at. I've been able to help a lot of the community, and I love to give back. Like, for instance, last year, I did one of the Hero Circle, one of the supports for Hero Circle for 1 in 10. My husband and I were We did Fresh Brunch. We were the chairs for Fresh Brunch. I got to speak at National Coming Out Day. I also was the chair for Festival of Trees for the Greater Phoenix Equality Chamber of Commerce. But that's not even half of what my husband and I do. I did Dancing for 1 in 10 last year, so I got to raise a lot of money for LGBTQ youth. This is how I like to give back. Plus, I also donate my space once a week to the Phoenix, which is an organization that helps people going through recovery.
Awesome.
So now I get to give everything back that I have been given my entire life, because everything's been placed in my path. I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful for everything that's happened to me, whether you would see it as good or bad. It's all been for the amazing purpose that I get to give back.
It's what leads up to where you are now. So my name's Billy with one L, and I tell people, oh yeah, growing up, I got the L beat out of me. And there's a little truth to that, which is what makes it funny, but it's dark humor. But I'm over it. That was a child that happened to. You know what I mean? So I can joke about it.
Yeah. But I'm not proud that I did all the drugs and everything that I needed. I did a lot of stupid stuff. And by all means, I should be dead. I really should, because of everything that I have put myself through. And I didn't blame anybody for it. I put myself there in those situations. Right. I did everything to myself.
And I think that's an important thing for people to realize, because I know a lot of people that are on the different substances and use those to cope. And a lot of the times they are victims. They keep saying, oh, this keeps happening. And I don't know how to point out that if you stop doing certain things, stop happening, and then you can start taking control of your life. But I don't know how to deliver that kind of message.
And that's why I say my path was a little different, because I did go through a 12-step program. They teach you a lot of things, but I was also very blessed because I met a Native American shaman that I got to study with at the same time. And I remember that they challenged me. They looked at me and said, David, you're not an alcoholic. And I would argue with them and say, yes, I am, because it says here, it says this, I am. And I would argue with them. I'm like, no, you're crazy. I am, because, and I would make a bunch of excuses for myself. And then I started slowly thinking about it. I'm like, okay, and this gets into like quantum physics and all kinds of other stuff, the law of attraction and everything else that a lot of people know those buzzwords.
Right.
But it got to the point where I'm like, I'm questioning, going, I'm going to a meeting every single day, and I'm going in there and I'm reinforcing that I'm sick and broken, because I would walk in there and say, hi, I'm David. I'm an alcoholic. And yes, admitting that you have a problem is a great thing, but admitting that you're broken, which me admitting I'm an alcoholic means that I'm broken, and continue to reinforce that, didn't work for me. So then I would gradually go in there and, hi, I'm David, I'm in recovery. And then I would, hi, I'm David. And then I didn't go. I did not stop doing my work. I did not stop going to counseling. I did not stop looking at my behavior. I did not stop taking a look at everything that I needed to do to make myself better for the next day. And that is the biggest difference that I can see with a lot of people who are going through recovery. And I think going to the recovery is an amazing thing. I would never knock it. I think people need it for a certain thing. And I do think that there's a question that people need to ask. Do I need to go a little bit further? Can I go a little bit further? Am I strong enough? Am I ready for it?
Right. Can I take that next step?
I will. Right. And I what? Because you can dance the cha-cha as much as you want, and you're going to do the same steps over and over again, but you're also going to repeat the same behavior until you do something different.
So for someone who's listening right now who might be in that dark space, what would you want them to hear from someone who's made it through?
Oh, gosh. So much. That thing of don't give up before the miracle happens, it's always there. There is always hope. There is always light. But it's a matter of doing your work, not feeling sorry for yourself, but getting up each day and dusting yourself off and going, okay, I'm going to smile. I'm going to take another step. And that's all I need to focus on right now.
And at what point did love and community come back into your life as you were journeying? Was it in those recovery meetings? Was it after you took the step after that? When did
it had to have been? I think that I was incredibly self-centered still when I was going through the 12-step program, and I was there for 7 years. I think I was so incredibly self-centered that I didn't think about anybody else but myself. I think it was after that, when I went through even the drugs and everything else and started taking care of my friend, that's when I started thinking about community and helping others and then when I started rejoining the workforce, understanding and seeing the difficulties that other people were going through, especially within our community, there's so much drugs and esteem issues, and with the trans people and the non-acceptance, it infuriates me because it's not that big of a deal just because somebody wants to be called they, them. And it's still something that I'm practicing. I respect people enough to use their pronouns. And it's very similar, like my husband was stating it to a group. It says, you're addressing Hispanic women. You're going to say señorita or señora. And if you call one the other, it's disrespectful. So why not apply this to they, them, it, whatever they want to go by.
Right.
And be respectful of that. So I guess it was after I did all the drugs and everything else, I started coming out of my own bullshit. Because I was, again, I was so self-centered with everything that I needed to take care of with me. Then once I started feeling better about myself, I really felt that I have a message that could actually help to motivate and inspire people. Because I truly do want to inspire people in many different ways. And I also sing for Voices of the Desert, which is an LGBTQ plus chorus. We act, we sing, we dance, we do everything. And we have every letter of the rainbow in our choir. And I could not be more happy because we have so many different mix of different people. And it's such a beautiful blend of family. And that's what I really love now is being a part of a family that supports one another. So I want to be one of those people that inspires others to be support for another person. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it does. It did. Yes. No, it did. And it's great. It's awesome. I'm trying to think as you've gone through this whole evolution on this journey, how has pride changed for you and what that means? Because where you were at when you were just coming out of recovery to where you're at now, I assume pride is a different meaning now.
Oh, 100%. Because there was actually a point in my life where I did not even want to be Hispanic because of the implications that came along with it early on in the workforce. I've been a licensed massage therapist for 34 years. 34 years ago, a male therapist was just after sex. It was so challenging for me to assume the role that I wanted to because I truly want to help and heal people. It was disheartening to have people come to me and want something more. Now, all the other people, therapists, whatever, if they want to do it, that's perfectly fine. That's your thing. I wanted to create something that like you're talking about, pride. I wanted to take pride in what I do. Everything that owning this business, I'm very proud of what I've done for myself. Again, it goes back to inspiring because I see a lot of the younger generation because I'm now 57 years old and looking towards retirement. But I want other people to understand that a lot of stuff that we went through as some of the older queer community was very different. Like when I came out, that was during the AIDS crisis. So to me, coming out meant, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Right.
So I was terrified. And you still do stupid things when you're younger. And that's why I say, I'm surprised I'm not dead yet.
Right. Because you still feel invulnerable in those years kind of things, even though it's ironic because you feel both the most vulnerable as you're coming out and yet invulnerable with what you do in your life.
Yeah. Because nothing can touch me. I'm indestructible. Yeah. That's the way we believe when we're younger. And it, I guess we're... pride, which for me was part of it with meeting my husband, Manny. He helped me with so much because he has the most amazing, beautiful, genuinely authentic heart. Like he has the compassion, and his compassion is more for animals, mine is more for people. So together we create this really nice balance of it. But he was just so compassionate towards my own journey. And I was afraid I was going to scare him off by being real with him. And he's, okay, are you going to do it again? I'm like, no. He's, okay. So we started becoming part of the community back then. And as I recognized there were more people who needed help, I wanted to be that person that people reach out to. And there's not always an opportunity to do that. But together we have created those opportunities because, again, we were chairs for Fresh Brunch last year, which was absolutely amazing in helping other people within the community with my business. With now that I've been open for 4 years, I've actually had other businesses that I'll do a little bit of work with. So we cross promote each other, and I help to, you know, again, with the Phoenix, I donate my space to them on Monday so they come and do yoga here. So if anybody within the sober community knows of the Phoenix, that you're welcome to come here for yoga. So it's been a journey. So I would say for the past 15 years, it's been more about the pride of who I am and the pride of being a gay man, a gay entrepreneur, and being a constructive part of the community.
Yeah. And what's next for you personally?
What's next for you personally? Oh my goodness. I'm still doing a lot of writing. I've actually got a lot of lyrics, so you might be hearing some music from me. I'm working on writing a book about all of my adventures.
Oh, excellent. See, but I'm telling you, mini-series. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Audiobook.
Yeah,
I'll help you.
Really interesting details. There's a lot of interesting details. Yeah. But also, mostly, I'm looking forward to retirement.
And finally, how can folks find you, support your work, or get involved?
Oh, absolutely. My website is connectionmbs.com, C-O-N-X-I-O-N. M as in Mary, B as in boy, S as in Sam. .com. My phone number is 623-777-9494. I'm up on 50th Street in Missouri, 6522 North 16th Street, right next to the Leaner Longer Lounge or Pie Snob, whatever you like.
And that MBS is for mind, body, and spirit, right?
Mind, body, and spirit, yeah.
Excellent. Awesome. David, thank you so very much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule to join us and educate our listeners.
Yeah, I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for asking me to do this. I'm very blessed. And again, thank you so much.
You are about to embark on a hero's journey. You will do something you never thought you could do. Destiny awaits, and you cannot escape it!
Very funny, Valentina. You can just say take out the trash next time.
Honey, in this house, we're all your friends. What's your name?
I'm Simon.
I'm Mama Moo Moo. This is my place. Every drag performer is unique.
Thank you. I love you, boys.
The name's Dinah. Dinabolical.
Cry, you miserable queens.
Igor? Showtime.
When you fall in love with you, your star begins to glow.
God, who are you?
The name's Maxi LaWow.
Maxi LaWow!
Maxi LaWow, Super Shiro, available on iTunes, Apple TV, and wherever you stream your superpower.
Girl, I'm a super queen.
Pride lives here.
That wraps up another episode of the Gay PHX Podcast. A huge thank you to our guests this week, Pub Midnight and David Soto Grego, for sharing their stories, their strength, and their heart with all of us. These are the kinds of voices that inspire, uplift, and remind us of why we're here. And to you, yes, you, thank you. We're so incredibly grateful that you're listening. Truly, this podcast doesn't exist without your support, your love, and your belief in what we're building together. We don't have a transmitter. We don't have a big broadcast tower humming in the desert. But what we do have
is you. And that means everything. With your help, your shares, your posts, your texts to friends, we've created something real. So please, keep spreading the word. Tell someone new this week about the Gay PHX podcast. Let them know that this just isn't any podcast. It's your community podcast, and your voice belongs here. We'll see you next week.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.